your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Good evening and welcome to the Sports Maverick Show with the Oprah of Sports, Ida Mouyeh. Now, the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome to the Sports Maverick Show. This is Ida Mouyeh, your host, and we are so happy to have you with us today. We're going to talk today about the NC regulations related to agents and other amateurism provisions. I think right now, as we approach the bowl season, we have a lot of athletes that are contemplating maybe the professional draft or looking at a tryout on that. And so there is something that is a thin line between the amateur status of a student-athlete to where he becomes a professional. And we're going to explore that today with our special guest, Ashley Bowman, compliance officer from the University of Florida. Ashley, welcome to the show tonight.
Thank you very much, Ida, for having me.
Well, Ashley, I think this is about your fifth time visiting us, which means that we are in our fifth season. Can you imagine that? We've come this far that we're actually getting ready to go into our fifth season on the air. I tell you, we couldn't have done it without you, Ashley. Let me just tell you that up front.
Thank you.
Folks, we've got a great show for you tonight. You know, if you look out here into the hinterlands now, there's a lot of news in the sports right now, particularly some sad news because one of the former Alabama football players, his wife and four kids were killed today in a very freak accident, and we send love out to that family. We hear that, you know, we've got a lot of news on the quote-unquote criminal side, folks. Gary Bonds apparently is going to be tried for his perjury in regard to steroids, and Michael Vick, once a hero, now a fallen hero, has reported to jail to begin his sentence on his dog gambling scandal that was reported earlier this year. Now, folks, when you hear the bad, there's a lot of good that's going on, but you got to listen to the bad, too, because there are circumstances that will allow different things to happen. Now, one of the sad notes is that we are losing Michigan Lloyd Carr. He announced his retirement on Monday, and he said that, you know, he had been there 13 years. He has actually got more wins than any coach other than Bo Schembechler and Phil H. Fields at Michigan. But, you know, it was time for him to go. He said retirement was something that was unexpected, but it seemed to him that, you know, lately he couldn't pull the pieces together, and he just felt that, you know, let somebody else come in there and run the show. Now, there's been rumors that they are looking at Coach Spurrier, who's with South Carolina, Nick Saban, that is at Alabama, and also one that you guys haven't heard in a long time, Ron Zook. Now, Ashley and I have had the privilege of working with Ron Zook, and we can tell you that this has been one heck of a year for Ron Zook. I mean, again, he's got an 8-3 record. Outstanding. And my support goes out to him and his family, and hello to Jerry, and just fabulous what he's doing this year. And if you look at his record, he took down some pretty big ones, particularly the number one at the time, Ohio State. They said it couldn't be done, but old Ron Zook took them down. So, anyway, the other thing is that Florida A&M had their big classic against Bethune-Cookman, and I think we can go on record and say that the Florida A&M Rattlers have been defanged. I sat and watched that game. Truly, Florida A&M was never in the game. They never committed to the game, and they lost from 34-7. And, of course, there's a new sheriff in town. President James Ammons announced today that the Institutional Athletic Department is going to change and that there will be a new athletic director, that Nelson Townsend had stepped down, and that he was not going to renew the contract of the football coach, Reuben Carter. Well, if we look back at Zook's story and we saw what happened to him, Reuben, There's a job out there somewhere for you. Life has its way of repeating itself. So keep the faith and get out there and look for your next job. Well, Ashley, let's get into this story here. Let's talk about the rule that everybody's talking about, the December 15 rule. What does that mean?
Well, it's according to the NFL draft, the college advisory, and you actually have until January 15th to put in your special eligibility petition. And
That's to see if you, where you would go on the draft if you were, say, you know, going to go to, particularly for juniors, right?
Yes. Well, okay. You have to be removed from high school for 3 years, so it could possibly be a sophomore, but most definitely juniors.
Okay. So that's to see how, in other words, to touch the waters a little bit, see where they would go in the draft if, in fact, they were drafted, say, today based on their record.
Correct. And that committee is made up of 12 general managers and personal directors of the NFL clubs and directors of the league's two scouting combines. So if they decide to fill out that evaluation form, they're going to get a very good evaluation of the player's best estimate of the highest round in which he has the potential to be drafted.
Okay, so let's just back up a little bit here. We're looking at, in other words, if they're looking to go from the amateur status to the professional status, particularly juniors or someone is 3 years removed from high school, then they have to petition to the NFL first to see if, in fact, whether or not they will qualify. Is that a something that they're required to do, or is something that makes sense to do?
No, they're not required to do it. It's probably best if they do complete the paperwork just to see where they might be evaluated. And you want to fill it out. It has to be filled out once the regular collegiate season has been completed. And so usually you have until January 4th to submit that request. And the player is contacted by the NFL, both the player and the head coach, and they're given the result of the evaluation over the phone and also in writing.
Okay, so folks, what you're hearing out there, an individual may inquire about their eligibility for professional league player draft without affecting his or her amateur status. The individual will lose their amateur status, and particularly when they ask to be placed on a draft list. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, so the individual, if they ask to be placed on a draft list, then they will lose their eligibility. But you can inquire about your eligibility for being drafted, and that will have, it will not affect your amateur status, and that's both in basketball as well as in football. Now, let's talk a little bit about, you know, preparing for the bowl season. Now, we know during the bowl season, that is another chance for NFL scouts to take a look at you. Now, what are the most significant bowls out there? We talk about the BCS, but there are certain bowls out there that I think are probably more significant even that, because I believe the Senior Bowl plays a big part. And how does a person get to go to the Senior Bowl?
Well, they're usually sent out an invitation. Sometimes it's been in December. We've had it as late as in January, the first week in January. And they send out their invitations. And if for some reason a player cannot, if they have said that they do want to compete in the Senior Bowl and then they decide at the last minute not to compete, depending on that player's position, let's say, for instance, it's a quarterback, if that quarterback withdraws from the Senior Bowl, they'll only take another quarterback to replace that person. So they won't take a wide receiver if a quarterback backs out.
So it's position specific?
It is.
Okay. And is it taken from the same school, or is it taken from a different school?
No, it's not taken from the same school. It's just I suppose that they have a list that they have set up, and, you know, they invite their top-level players. Usually, if you're a top-level player, usually they will either by their agent or whoever sometimes be asked not to play in the bowl games just to protect, you know, them from being injured and hurting them in the draft.
But couldn't that even hurt their status if they don't play? Because isn't this another opportunity for the professional, you know, teams to take a look at this, you know, the player? Because I know with the NFL coaches, they bring their whole staff to the Senior Bowl, which is held in Mobile, Alabama.
Absolutely, and that's the best place to be seen. You know, if you play in it, you have all 32 teams represented, and you can play your best and show them, you know, what you have. But then there's been chances where players have played in the Senior Bowl and they've become injured and it's hurt their draft status. So, you know, I would think that the player probably really needs to sit down with his or her agent and discuss with the family what the best solution to do for that Senior Bowl. I mean, but it is one of the best, only the best of the best get invited to the Senior Bowl.
Okay, so then there's other bowls, and what are the other bowls that are available?
You know, there used to be the East-West Shrine Game. I don't know if they have that anymore.
Yeah, the East-West Shrine Game, East-West Shrine Game is still in existence. Then there seems to be, there's one in Hawaii.
There's the Hula Bowls in Hawaii.
Yes.
And then, you know, there was another bowl, but lately a
lot
of...
Is that the Gridiron Bowl?
Yes, the Gridiron Bowl. There have been a couple of bowls within the past year or so that have are now non-existent.
Yeah, I know that the Gridiron Bowl basically has used to have the coaches that were from the NFL Europe. And now that pretty much has been dissipated, I'd assume that that's probably not going to be in existence anymore because it would take that sponsorship. We're going to take a little break here, come back in three, and we are talking to Ashley Bowman, compliance officer from University of Florida, about the NCAA regulations related to agents and other amateurism provisions. Come back and let's talk agents when we come back after our break. This is Ida Moya, your host. You're listening to the Sports Maverick Show.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moyer, your host, and you're listening to the Sports Maverick Show, where we take sports off the kitchen table and into the war rooms and the boardrooms of the NFL, the NBA, WNBA, and all the sports arenas here. Again, my guest is Ashley Bowman. She is a compliance officer with the University of Florida, and we're talking about the NCAA regulations related to agents and other amateurism provisions. Now, Ashley, at the break here, we were talking about pretty much the various different bowls that were available, and that does give the NFL scouts a chance to really take a look at, or the last look before the combine, of the seniors going out of the, for the pros. But juniors also only have one shot, and that's to be in a regular bowl game. Now, obviously, playing in the BCS games, that's all national news. But then you have the smaller, bowls, like you have, the Outback, and you have the Citrus Bowl, and you also have the Gator Bowl. But, I mean, for the most part, we always tell the student athlete, do the best that you can. Show as much as you can. Always remember that you're making a record. And so, therefore, you got to have at least 13 game tapes. So how important it is for a student who wants to go to the NFL that they stay in school until they actually finish their bowl game?
No, I think that's very important. They say that players that stay in school and get their degrees have longer careers in the NFL.
So there's a correlation between that.
Absolutely.
Well, we know NFL is not for long, and if you don't have an education to bounce back on, you could find yourself actually unemployed. And it could be just that simple. Let's talk about an individual who could lose their eligibility by participating in any in intercollegiate sports but have signed contracts with agents. Now, we know that when we get through our season, the agents are on the move because they're making their assessments of the type of players, and they are either receiving phone calls from the parents of these athletes, or some agents are contacting them, even though it may not be legal to do that. What are you guys doing to protect the student as it regard to agents?
Well, our football team, for instance, is talked to before the season, during the season, before the bowl game. We make sure that all agents follow not only NCAA rules, but the state of Florida rule. They're not allowed to contact our players or their family. The player or the family has to make the initial contact first. Agents can send written materials to student-athletes, provided that they send simultaneously identical copy of material. So if they're sending a player or a player's family a brochure and a letter on their company, they also have to send the compliance office the exact copy. And now there's a new rule in the NFL that if you are not eligible for the draft, an agent cannot send anything with that player's name on it. It has to be Dear Prospect.
That's an interesting rule.
Yeah, I guess that protects them so they're not trying to make them leave early or what have you. So, and the rule's a little sticky because, you could have a redshirt junior who typically probably could have left in the draft. And so the fine line between junior and redshirt junior Retro Jr. could receive materials with their name on it, telling about the agent's company and who their clients are, and that rule just started this year.
So that's simply very clear here that any kind of demarcation with your name on it directed to you could actually be an infringement on state law as well as the NCAA laws, or, I mean, is that what you're saying? Is that against the agent or against the student?
It's against the agent, and that's the NFL.
So what is the penalty for the agent? Is it, are they looking at basically suspending the agent or penalizing the agent in any kind of way?
Absolutely. I haven't heard how, but they are very strict about it, and they want those people that are receiving the information, you know, to report back to them. Also, you want to make sure that the information that you're getting from the agent, that the compliance office has that same material, because if they're not following the rules and sticking to the state statutes, you know, the saying is, if they cheat to get you, they'll cheat you when they get you.
Oh, I love that. If they cheat to get you, they'll cheat you when they get you, right?
Exactly.
I love that one, absolutely.
We love to tell all of the student-athletes that, you know, there are agents out there that do play by the rules, and it's unfair that we have to make the rules for those ones that do not stick to the rules. But we want to make sure that everything is above board and that all of our players keep their amateur status. So definitely I would keep a record, if you're a parent, of who's sending you the materials and what materials may have been sent to the athletic director's office or the compliance office. And you can call them at any time. We at the University of Florida keep track of that. So anytime our football player receives agent information, that is logged in.
So you know exactly what's going on. Now, I read somewhere that a financial advisor can be treated as an agent for purposes of NCAA legislation if he or she acts as an agent. But if that financial advisor's responsibility is solely the function of a money manager, they're not considered as an agent. How do you handle financial advisors?
Well, we treat them just like athlete agents. And, you know, it might be a little bit unfortunate, but we have to keep it all the level playing field. And there are financial planners out there that are also agents. So just to keep it on the same level, if they want to send stuff to our athletes, we ask for a copy of what they're sending. And, you know, not so much when an agent wants to contact a player, we tell them they cannot contact it. You can write in your letter, here's my telephone number, and the player or the parent can contact that agent. That agent's supposed to let us know that they have talked to that student-athlete or that parent.
Okay, so in other words, keep it all on a level playing field. Now, I understand if there's a student-athlete that is pursuing a radio, television, performing arts career, they can have actually an agent for them to get, like, radio, television, theater appearances, but they cannot use their image. How is that maintained, or how do you keep that sort of demarcation line?
Well, you know, I've never come across that. I would think as long as they're not paid for what they are doing, or you know, that's
well, probably not based on their, maybe because they're pursuing a performance art degree like theater and drama, it's not based on their individual athletic ability, I would think.
I would think so, too.
So probably could they receive compensation in that regard?
Not from an agent.
No. Okay. All right. But from appearances. Particularly if it's in the performing arts. I don't know if that, I read somewhere that in fact there was a case in 96 and it was okay because they didn't use the athletic ability and reputation, but what they used was it was their drama and theater background is what they were being paid for. I thought that was kind of interesting, that you can retain an agent to get that, as long as the compensation is consistent with NCAA limitations on student-athletes' maximum amount of financial aid. So I think if it goes over the financial aid, why do they need financial aid, right? I mean, what are the really levels of financial aid that a person has and can exceed? Is there a demarcation line for that?
Well, it's room, board, books, tuition, and fees. So, you know, our athletes can go out and have jobs. They just need to be paid what the regular person would be paying. So, you know, if they're out there making $50 an hour at a car dealership, that's obviously an issue that we would need to look into. So they
or they're providing them a car because they're working for them.
Absolutely.
That would be an issue. I remember one player that had actually driven a car of a pro professional player for a week, and he was ineligible.
That's correct. You know. That's why we keep records of what all of our players drive, the amount of the vehicle, and even their mopeds and scooters we keep track of.
Now, another issue that's at the heart of this automobile issue is that it's alleged that Reggie Bush actually was given a car by this marketing group, and that in fact he was driving a souped-up, beautiful, gorgeous car to school every day. Does that send a red flag up?
Oh, absolutely, especially that we have our athletes fill out the forms in the beginning of the season, and we run their license plates through the University Police Department to let us know who owns that car. And if a red flag shows up, absolutely, we have to investigate. You know, if we see a player that's on a Pell Grant and he's driving around the 2008 Escalade, that's an issue.
Oh, absolutely. And then again, some of them could have parents who can afford that, but generally they don't come to school with those.
That is correct. We have had players in the past where their parents are doctors or lawyers, and, you know, that part checks out. But if they're on a Pell Grant and, you know, they're getting money from the state, pretty much, you know, they're not able to afford that Escalade or Navigator.
And the thing is that why take the chances, parents? Because if you know that your child is willingly taking things from agents or for any third-party source, you're not only totally responsible for that, you're in total violation of NCAA rules. Okay, Ashley, we're going to take another break here. You're listening to the Sports Maverick Show. This is Ida Moya, your host, and our special guest is Ashley Bowman. She is a compliance officer with University of Florida, and we are talking about agents, we're talking about coaches, we're talking about amateur status, and we're also talking about the professional draft. When we come back, we're going to zero in on coaches' involvement. Again, this is Ida Moya, your host, and you're listening to the Sports Maverick Show.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at the
shot. Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
From the Super Bowl to the World Cup and every major sporting event in between, Front Row with sports travel insider Robert Tuchman will take you on a private ride into the exclusive world of high-end sports travel. Tune in every Thursday at 12 p.m. Eastern as Robert interviews key event organizers as well as star athletes and celebrities who attend these events. That's Thursdays at 12 p.m. Eastern right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moye, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
Leave the bitch's ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. And again, we are sitting here today with Ashley Bowman, compliance officer with the University of Florida, the Gators. And we are talking about NCAA regulations related to agents, coaches, and parents, and other amateur provisions. Now, the NCAA bylaws indicate that member institutions, athletic programs, are designed to be an intricate part of educational programs, and student-athletes are considered an integral part of the student body, thus maintaining a clear line of demarcation between college athletics and professional sports. Now, in this regard, an athletic student-athlete that is amateur is one who engages in particular sports for educational, physical, mental, social benefits derived therefrom, and with whom participates in the sport is an avocation versus being a profession. Now, Ashley, I'm going to bring you right in again, and I've said a mouthful there, but let's just get in where the responsibility of the coaches are here. We talk about kids who are playing sports, and their coaches are almost like their surrogate parent. They know who comes and who goes. They know when there are agents after their players. They know if they're getting unlawful calls, because the rumor mill is very, very thick. Well, let's talk about marketing student-athletes to professional teams. Is that the coach's responsibility?
No, I don't think it's solely their responsibility, but they're a great person to turn to. Because they know most of those coaches in the NFL, whether they've coached in the NFL or just being around in college, they have a lot more contacts with those coaches and scouts, and they can, you know, get more feedback from the NFL as to where these players may be drafted or what they need to work on. They are very much so an asset to help the players.
Now, I'm assuming that because they have those relationships both directly and indirectly, and there's a certain reputation that goes with the winning coach, because obviously that means that he's got great players on his team, can they receive compensation and gratuities from that, or are they in violation of the NCAA rules if they did?
The coaches absolutely cannot receive any gratuities or anything involved. I think that's their, you know, part of their responsibility, but absolutely they cannot be paid by anyone in the NFL, you know, to whether, because they can't really funnel a player to them, but yeah, that would definitely be a major violation.
Now, I know there's an exception to the rule because you have a professional sports counseling panel. And, of course, your head coach is there. And I think that that particular panel may contact agents, professional teams, and professional sports organizations on behalf of the student-athlete, provided no compensation is received for such services. Now, I imagine that, is the head coach part of that, or is the panel made up of other members?
You know, at our university, our coach is not made up of that. It's normally people outside of the university. We have someone that is at the law school. We have someone that's on the general counsel for the University of Florida. We have two professors in the same college, and we also have another member that is over the academic affairs. So it's kind of, you know, all spread out, everyone's backgrounds.
Okay. So now, can that panel communicate directly with representatives of professional athlete teams to assist in some kind of securing a tryout with that team for a student-athlete?
Well, the panel can help in several ways. They can advise a student-athlete about their future professional career. They can also provide direction on purchasing disability insurance. They can review proposed professional sports contracts. And they can meet with the student-athlete and or agent and communicate directly with representatives of professional athletics teams, yes, in securing a tryout for that student-athlete.
And do they also assist the student-athlete in selection of an agent by participating with them in interviews or reviewing written information or things of that nature?
Absolutely. What we usually do at the end of the season is our panel, we tell our players to narrow down their list of agents. So let's say maybe there's, 8 to 10 agents out there they might be interested in. Narrow it down to 4 or 5. Let's bring them in. Let's interview them. The panel interviews the players there and whoever the player wants there beside them, whether it's their, you know, mother or father or grandmother or grandfather or cousin, brother, sister, or maybe, you know, their high school coach who pretty much is their guardian, whoever they want in that room. And we interview them, and it's kind of a question and answer session. Usually the agent provides a little background on their company and their clients and whether they pay for training and housing and meals and what have you. And then, you know, the panel helps out with asking questions that maybe the parents or the student-athlete has not thought of.
Now, again, I heard the rumor that maybe 10% of 1,000 agents may represent the NFL players. So how common is it for you to see the same agents come through?
That is correct. I believe there are more agents out there than there are players in the NFL. I mean, people are becoming agents every single day. There is a rule. If you do not do a contract within 3 years, your license is taken away from you. So I'm not sure how that helps regulate if, you know, someone loses their license, but then you have more people that are coming in to be agents. No, there are agents out there that have a lot of clients, and if you're one of the top players, they will come after your player. You know, it just,
So what's required for them to be an agent? Because, for instance, a novice athlete who's been playing and had his head, you know, focused on playing sports has very little knowledge or sophistication to deal with agents. So what do you do to protect yourself or protect the student from the particular agent? Do you do a background check on the agent?
We do. For the most part, the agents that we deal with are, you know, almost the same ones. A lot of the time we like to see new agents. The past couple of years we have seen a lot more new agents. And we ask a lot of hard questions. We ask if they're a lawyer or what is their educational background. Have they ever been disbarred, suspended, or reprimanded as an attorney or as an agent? I do get a list from the NFL Players Association that tells me all of the agents that have been disciplined. And I go through that list before each of the interviews that we have to see if that agent that's going to be coming in front of the panel is on there. And if so, you know, distribute that to those panel members so they know that this agent has done something, and we will bring it up to that agent to see, you know, if they tell us or if they don't tell us. So we do get, you know, some background information on these agents.
Okay, so, and your sources, the NFL gives you a list who is active. But understand that anybody can be an agent as long as the player agrees that you're their agent. So is there any fast and hard rule that you look for or would be willing to adhere to if a student insists on someone that's not on your list? How do you handle that?
Well, they have to be registered by the state of Florida. If you're an underclassman, an agent cannot contact you or meet with you unless they are registered by the state.
Okay, so there is a requirement, probably a state requirement, that would keep anybody who's not registered with their particular state from actually approaching or even signing up an athlete.
Absolutely, and I would say to those agents out there, if you are not registered by the state of Florida, you very well should be, because you have three big universities here in the state of Florida that you could recruit from.
Okay. Now, we understand that if, and we've seen a couple cases, I know, where the coach was also the parent. Now, I understand there's a hard and fast rule that that parent cannot negotiate with a professional team on behalf of his or her child without jeopardizing the individual's amateur status. And he's not there, he or she is not permitted to engage in any activity relating to marketing his or her daughter and reputation, except if, in fact, that is within the guidelines. That's a thin line there, isn't it?
Oh, it's a very, very thin line. You know, the regulations that go along with that, you know, like I said, you want to make sure that you protect your amateur status, but, you know, if you've decided that you're definitely leaving school, if you're a junior and you've given up your eligibility and it's past the 72 hours where you could decide if you want to come back or not, provided that you have not taken a benefit from an agent, and you have not accepted anything, you know, then it's a very, very sticky.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about benefits, because that tends to get sort of, it's sort of like benefits is kind of like one of these esoterical terms that has been, you know, determined by the interpretation. But we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about benefits from prospective agents, what they are, and what you must avoid to keep your eligibility. Again, this is Ida Moye, your host. I am being visited by my guest host, Ashley Bowman. She is the compliance officer with the University of Florida, and we are talking about the NCAA regulations related to agents, coaches, parents, and other amateurism provisions. We'll be back in three. This is Ida Moye, your host. This is the Sports Maverick Show.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moye, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
Deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at the
shot. Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Hi, this is Ida Moyer, your host. You're listening to the Sports Maverick Show, where we take sports off the kitchen table and into the war rooms and boardrooms of sports leagues. And we bring the hard questions and we answer them up front and personal with our professional. And my professional tonight is Ashley Bowman, compliance officer with the University of Florida. Now, before the break here, we were talking a little bit about the professional sports panel, and we just got an email, and this particular email, again, is asking some specific questions about the sports panel. So I'm going to go back to my expert here and just let us see if these are some of the things that indeed the panel can do for a particular individual. Now, we know that the sports panels are put together to review proposed professional sports contracts. Is that correct, Ashley?
That is correct.
Negotiate contract terms with professional sports organizations on behalf of student athletes. Is that possible?
Say the question again.
It says,
sorry.
Negotiate contract terms with professional sports organizations on behalf of student athlete?
Yes, that is correct.
Invite outside consultants to advise a student athlete, like outside career counseling people?
I suppose you could do that. I don't believe that we have done that.
Okay, provide information to enroll student-athletes in regard to purchasing disability insurance. We talked about that.
Absolutely.
Educate student-athletes regarding NCAA eligibility legislation, of course. Communicate directly with representatives of professional athletic teams to assist in securing a tryout with that team for student-athletes.
Yes.
We talked about that. Assist student-athletes in selection of an agent by participating with student-athletes in interview of agents by reviewing written information, I believe, agents sent to the student-athlete, and by having direct communication with those individuals who can comment about the ability of an agent. In other words, doing your due diligence on them. And also visiting with player agent representatives to assist the student-athlete in determining his or her market value. And I guess that's really their draft status, more or less.
That is correct.
Now, we talked a lot about what gets people in a lot of trouble, and that's going to be benefits. So let's talk about what do you consider as being a benefit from a prospective agent?
Well, benefits could include, but are not limited to, transportation, money, gifts, regardless of the value of the benefit or if it is used. So let's say you as a parent out there are interested in an agent, and that agent wants to meet with you. And they want to meet at a restaurant. You can meet them at a restaurant, but you must make sure that you pay for your meal, your glass of water, whatever you have. That agent cannot buy you anything. When they buy you something, that's when the eligibility has been compromised.
Okay, so in other words, parents, when you can lose, the student can lose their eligibility if they accept transportation or other benefits from any person who represents that individual in the marking of his or her athletic ability, or any agent, even if the agent indicated he or she has no interest in representing that student athlete and marking his or her ability or reputation. Again, keep in mind there are also runners out there who may represent the agent, and you cannot accept any benefits from them as well because they're part of that agency, I would think, as well. Is that correct, Ashley?
That is correct. And nor may your relatives or friends accept benefits from an agent, financial advisor, runner, or any other person associated with that agency.
Okay. For example, a student-athlete would jeopardize his or her intercollegiate eligibility in particular sport if they accept from the agent automobile transportation from the, say, you know, from the campus to a prospective agent's office to discuss the agent's, representing that student athlete.
absolutely. They cannot take anything from an agent or a runner.
Or if a student athlete may sign an agency contract for a particular sport, but by doing so, they would render themselves ineligible in that sport, correct?
That is correct.
Does that keep them ineligible for another sport?
Say they're
dual sports like baseball and also football.
We have had players in the past that have played, one in particular played pro baseball. I believe, though, that he could not be on athletics aid. So he had to pay his own way to play football.
Oh, in other words, he wasn't ineligible to play, but he was ineligible for scholarship.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Well, there you go. So that still is almost like penalizing them for doing that. So you can't receive money from an agent who's representing a student athlete in one sport and still eligible for a scholarship, but you can still be eligible to play. That's a twist. Now, agent charging fee to student athletes on a deferred payment schedule. Let's say student athlete can jeopardize his eligibility if an agent provides advice to the student athlete about a professional contract with the understanding that the student athlete will pay the agent for such service once the student athlete has been drafted. Sounds like a Reggie Bush rule, doesn't it? That's a new one.
It certainly does.
That sounds like a rule. That rule actually has been in place since 12/16/92. So it's not a new rule. It's just one that people may have forgotten exists. So, again, you can't promise and accept, say, okay, I am going to give you money if you sign me into a marketing. So, as a result of it, that agent is out there doing work for you with some type of deferred fee agreement.
Well, and you also can't agree orally or in writing to say that I will sign with you once, you know, I leave the university.
And apparently that is extended to also a marketing company as well.
That
correct. Seems to be what's under investigation right now regarding Reggie Bush.
Correct.
And seems to be an issue. Now, it would be necessary, obviously, you know, to preclude employment from student athletes by agent in any circumstances?
Absolutely not.
Okay, so that has sort of a tendency to show that, in fact, that could be an improper thing. Now, student-athletes determined to have received improper benefits at the time, I think, when they accept a benefit associated with any item that is not otherwise permissible under NCAA legislation, I guess, like, you know, better equipment, better shoes, you know, and things like that, even though some can be mitigating circumstances, I would think.
Well, when in doubt, they should not take anything at all.
And the next question I have for you is that these rules not only extend to the athlete, they extend to the parents, they extend to the relatives.
And the friends as well.
And friends that are closely associated with them.
That is correct.
So in other words, no transportation, no special benefits, no promises to marketing, which apparently that's what is alleged that Reggie Bush's stepfather promised that Reggie would, in fact, allow the company to market him based on their arrangements. So that extends not only to the student-athlete, but beyond that, it reaches to the family, to the relatives, and to close friends. Whenever in doubt, talk to the professionals at your school. Well, folks, we're coming very close to our end here, and I think that it's very important for you to understand that these rules are hard and fast, and you can go to the NCAA.org/agents/NCAA_summary, and you can get these rules firsthand. Again, that's NCAA.org/agent/NCAA_summary. It will give you these rules. Now, I know that a lawyer may not be present during discussions of a contract offer with a professional organization or have any direct contact with a professional sports organization on behalf of a student athlete, but there are some examples when a lawyer can actually be hired. And what are those?
They could be hired as a fee basis, hourly. You know, if you don't want to pay a sports agent 3%, you can definitely pay a lawyer to negotiate you know, and that might be less expensive than the 3%, or it could be, you know, just depending on, you know, your comfort level. Not everyone has to have an agent.
But what I'm thinking more of, Ashley, is that if there's other reasons why a student might need an attorney, that's more or less. That is there any exception to that rule? For instance, if they have other legal issues or business issues or things of that nature that are out of the realm of their student athlete status, they can use a lawyer as well, can't they?
Absolutely, especially if they have been in trouble with the law.
But we don't want to talk about that. We know that does happen. And we like to think our kids really know better than that. But parents, make sure that you are up on the NCAA regulations. Well, folks, we've come to another great broadcast, a lot of great information. Remember that we are in you can go to our archives and listen to this show again and take notes from the show and be prepared if anything comes up, because you must keep in mind that using your student athlete's name without knowledge or permission, or even trying to promote your student athlete to an agent without following the rules, you may find yourself in hot water. Again, this is Ida Moyer, and I am wishing everybody out there a happy Thanksgiving and a safe Thanksgiving. And Ashley, again, as always, thank you. You're the best, and we hopefully will have you again on our show. Again, good night. This is the Sports Maverick Show. And again, come back next Tuesday. We'll be here again, 8 o'clock sharp.
Thank you for joining Ida Moyer and the Sports Maverick Show. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you have a question or a story you'd like to share with Ida, you can email her at sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.